A large part of marriage problem solving is understanding your spouse's point of view. That requires having an open mind, an open heart, and a willingness to change if their idea is better. Let's talk about 5 communication techniques to help your marriage be amazing. Number 1, talk to yourself positively. That's right, to yourself. Before you can love others, you need to love yourself. Before you can speak to others kindly, you need to habitually speak to yourself kindly. Self-talk is the way we talk to ourselves in our minds and the way we talk about ourselves to other people. Negative self-talk is like, I'm so stupid. Good self-talk, you think in your mind, that's not like me. I usually don't make mistakes like that. Another example is if the boss gives you a compliment and you think, oh, he doesn't really mean that. He's just trying to be nice. That's negative. A better way is to think, you know, he's right. I did do a good job on that project. I worked hard and it turned out well. That's positive, uplifting self-talk. The second communication technique is to speak with positive, self-fulfilling prophecies. Those are things people say to us that sometimes affect the way we act. For example, you say, it's just like you to help me out with this, honey. You're always so kind. Or, I like the way you figured that out. You're so clever. Number 3, use I messages. I love I messages. They're magical and they're a power to deflect defensiveness. The last thing we want to do is to create adversarial relationships. Isn't that true in our marriages? To avoid getting your spouse defensive, you use these I messages. First you say, I, and then you say how you're feeling. I'm feeling annoyed. See, you own the problem. And since we understand that we choose our responses, that is true. We should own it. I'm feeling annoyed. I'm feeling upset, disappointed, impatient, however you really are feeling. Because, and then explain why. Something like, you know, you agreed to be home each night for dinner at 6:30 so we can eat together as a family, and you're not home at night at 6:30. Then this. Oh, this is the key, the magic to it. You say, what can I do to help solve this problem? How can I be part of the solution? What can I do to help you or help this work for us? You see how that works? First, you explain how you feel. Second, you explain the problem as you see it, not blaming. Third, you ask how you can be part of the solution. And then, my friends, you are solution focused, and that's very healthy. A fourth communication skill is to listen. There are 6 critical parts to listening well. First, show you're listening. Face the person. Look in their eyes. Look interested. Second, be interested in what they're saying. Concentrate on their words while they're talking to you. Try to be them with their life experiences, their needs, their desires. Right then, be very truly interested in them and what they're saying. Number 3, never interrupt. Number 4, watch their body language. Many times people communicate more through their body language than they do with their words. Be very observant. Number 5, actively listen. This means that you check if you understand by occasionally paraphrasing or repeating what the speaker says. Like if your husband says, I'm so angry at Larry Johnson, his boss, you'd say, you're angry at your boss? You see, you just repeat back what he said. Your husband probably just needs to vent. He doesn't want an instant solution. He doesn't want advice. He just needs you to listen. Once he knows you care and that you're listening, he'll tell you what happened at work. And just telling is therapeutic. And the last part to listening well is to respond kindly. When the time is right, we should share our feelings about what's being said in a way that will help the person. One last thought on listening. Make the time to listen to your spouse, even if you have to schedule it regularly. Visit with each other. Assess how you're doing as marriage partners. Now, the 5th communication skill for an amazing marriage is to share the deepest, innermost feelings of your heart. Honestly, openly, frequently. Think about your dearest friend, the person who you'd say is your very closest friend. How did you get to be so close? You shared your joys and your sorrows. You told them how you were really feeling. You truthfully shared your heart. Husbands and wives need to communicate with each other deeply, to express their feelings openly and often. We need to be best friends, and that's what friends do. If you're hesitant about sharing your deepest feelings because of past ridicule or indifference, go to your spouse at a time that is just right and tell him how you feel. You must, because stuffed feelings don't go away. They just accumulate. It's critical how you say things, though. Remember, no blaming, no accusations or negative insinuations of any kind. You say something like this: "Honey, I'd like to share some of my thoughts with you. Is this a good time?" If it is, then tell him how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are to be his companion, that you appreciate how hard he works to earn a living, or any sincere compliment. Then say, "There's something that's bothering me, but I know that together we can find a solution. Honey, I get frustrated when I'm trying my best to discipline the kids and you correct the way I do it." Or the grandkids. You say, "I think that sends a mixed signal. It makes me look weak. I think they lose a little respect for me. Then later, I can't discipline them as effectively because I'm not really the boss. Do you see the problem? I know we can figure this out. What do you think we should do?" So much of this has to do with how you say it, the way you say it, your tone of voice, your body language. It's more than just the words, although the words are the most important. Here's the wrong way. "Jerry, we need to talk. I have to tell you that you make me crazy when you correct me in front of the kids. How do you think that makes me feel? The kids don't respect me. I feel like a fool and I just get so angry at you. What do you think you're doing when you act like Mr. Gestapo around here?" More than hearing the difference, do you feel the difference? We all know this. It's easy to say, "Yes, I understand that." And it's more difficult to do, but it's possible. The fifth step to an amazing marriage is confronting, then resolving conflict. Here's a scenario. "Stop talking and just listen for once in your life," Nicole yelled to her husband, Mark. He shot back angrily, "Yeah, I'm not supposed to have an opinion, am I? Because you know it all." And the fight escalated. The question isn't whether or not couples are going to have different opinions. They are. It's how they handle it. Unfortunately, most adults grew up in families where they didn't have examples of how to communicate well, resolve conflict in healthy ways, and negotiate with respect and as equals. Modeled instead was what? Blame, name-calling, resentment, defensiveness, and aggression. John Gottman, in his book, Why Marriages Succeed and Fail, said, quote, "The greatest single factor leading to unhappy marriages and divorce is the inability to resolve conflicts in healthy ways," close quote. You know, occasionally, couples confuse conflict with contention. But they're two different things. Conflict is the normal and natural result of differing opinions. And it's not inherently bad. When one person sees things one way, and another person has a conflicting perspective or opinion, there's a healthy opportunity for growth. Why? Because much good can come from conflict if it expands your perspective and helps you see alternative ways of solving problems. Depending on your ability to resolve it in healthy ways, conflict can be stimulating, thought-provoking, character-strengthening. Unfortunately, conflict can be highly detrimental to a relationship if couples don't have the skills necessary to deal with it well, if conflict is synonymous with contention. Modeling healthy conflict resolution does not mean to pretend there isn't a problem. I want to be so clear on this point. Unresolved issues don't die. They don't go away. Unresolved issues manifest themselves in a myriad of ways. Negative ways: resentment, distance, anger, annoyance, frustration. When you know healthy ways of dealing with conflict, it isn't necessary to run from it or ignore it. Conflict is natural, and it won't create contention if you follow the steps to successful resolution. So let's talk about those steps. I like to call it honor, H-O-N-O-R, your spouse as you negotiate. The real definition of honor is, quote, that to which respect is due, a cause of esteem, close quote. When we honor our spouse as we discuss our mutual conflict, there's a greater chance that we're going to be successful in our attempt for a healthy resolution.